Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, happy Halloween, or at least it was last weekend. How you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. I spent most of yesterday having incredibly strong physical reactions to some spooky Halloween cream. We had some cream dip that we had at a Halloween party at my house on Saturday. It was out for about 5 hours. Put it back in the fridge for a couple of days, and then I spent the day before yesterday eating it, and then I spent yesterday on the floor of my bathroom wishing I was dead, because that was I had a particularly painful bout of food poisoning. I mean, it could have been one of a million things I ate that day from recooked, rewarmed pizza, which is usually fine, and sour cream. And I just sort of think, I drink so much kind of fizzy pop, my stomach is just always awash with acid that's going to kill any bugs anyway. But no, yesterday morning was it was pretty brutal. I thought I was on the way out, quite frankly. But I'm better now, and I'm beach body ready, and I'm empty, and I've got my abs back. It's brilliant.
Got your abs back. I feel bad. I didn't do anything for Halloween, although I feel slightly better about myself now, knowing that, you know, you, Mr. Halloween addict, your favourite thing, and you spent it in pain. There's a sense of schadenfreude on my part, because I just sang, so I did nothing. But that being said,
Chris,
I can't mope around and be sad too much, because I am recording this from the finally finished 2 months in the making Abroad in Japan studio set, which is a Japanese street ramen shop from Blade Runner. And maybe
I was going to ask,
and you can see it, right,
Chris?
Pete,
I can see it right now. I was going to ask how you managed to sort of manage to get an entire back street of Akihabara to yourself to record an entire podcast. And, like, you will see this on a video that Chris is putting out very, very soon. But the attention to detail, the lighting bill, for one, Chris is going to be in big trouble. We may need to up the patrons because there's just so much LED work in it. But honestly, this set that Chris and his friend have built looks in flipping sane. It looks like something out of a film, and that this is where you're going to be doing all of your work from.
So I mean, this was built by a professional team of like film crew who build actual sets. And they built same guys who did Alice in Borderland, a Netflix series, which I didn't overly enjoy, but the sets were great and everything else was great.
But you didn't, say that when they were there. But you didn't slag the film off when they were present.
Well, they weren't responsible for the acting. The acting, I can't say I was a big fan of. But they built the sets for that amongst other things, and so they're the real deal. And you know, there's a real tragedy behind film sets where they build these beautiful sets, incredibly detailed, and then they have to sort of take it down, and destroy it after a matter of weeks. So it's nice knowing that they've built all this, these two alleyways. One is kind of like a ramen shop with a shutter, an electronics store, and a sort of alleyway that leads into an abyss. And then the other alleyway is like a retro Japanese sweet shop. And it, you know, describing all this, it doesn't do it justice, really. So you'll have to check it out. I'll be putting up some videos on like the channel next week. I'm going to get Natsuki to come over and make sense of it all. But, you know, they've done such an incredible job. And the level of detail is astonishing. I keep discovering, like, stickers or little paintings or little things. Like, I didn't realize right behind me, I don't think you can actually see it, Pete, there's a phone box. And surrounded the phone box are, like, stickers for hostess girls, cool girls.
Oh,
it's very provocative and exciting.
Yeah, I think what I like about it is it's, you're in a situation where what a lovely job for someone where they have to like go around like, you know, little antique shops or vintage shops or eBay and just find these kind of they will have had that phone in storage for a long time. Like, oh, we'll keep hold of that and see if we can use it for something. And they finally found a project to put it in and make it look all dirty and dusty. And I am so impressed, and I'm not even there, Chris. I'm not even there. I'm so impressed. What a background.
It is cool. I like, yeah, it's just quite fun discovering your own kind of set. And so I don't know what to say. I mean, it's all about lighting. I've discovered with a good film set, it's all about having the lighting. And I've got like one on switch for this entire like street. And I flip the switch and like 25 different lights come on. I think conservative estimates, there's probably about 20 lights on this street. They're not all like really big, powerful lights, so I don't think it will use too much electricity, but it's just so surreal and very exciting. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to turn my bedroom into a pirate ship, and I got like halfway there, but I never quite made it. And so the last sort of 20 years, I've been wanting to do something similar, but this time with Cyberpunk, Blade Runner, kind of 1980s vibe going on, and now I've done that and my life goal's complete and I can die happy.
It's amazing, Chris. They've done such a lovely job. You showed me a little tour on line a little while ago, but it looks blooming great. And does that say like something is magic in the background? There's a sign that goes like a magic.
Hey, you've read it. Yeah, it's like a little vertical a vertical sign.
LED
game.
Sign.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to showing everyone around. But before that, it's time for a story from Guilherme.
Story.
This week, story of the week. Begins, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Me and my girlfriend, now my wife, yay, well done, Guilherme, lived in Tokyo for a year. And since it's that time of the year, I thought it'd be cool to share a spooky story from our time in Japan." Oh, a spooky story. Yes, please. Speaking of spooky, did you see the video of Connor and Natsuki and I in the abandoned building yet, Pete? Have you watched that?
I was planning on sitting down yesterday morning to do so, but instead I vomited out of my mouth and bum.
Ah, what better way to recover from being massively sick while eating cream? Me and my girlfriend lived in Tokyo for a year. So we used to live in Shinjuku near Waseda. There is a park in the area called Toyama Park, which we walked through many times on our way back home. Whenever we had to walk through at night, my partner always commented that she felt a little uneasy. And always suggested we go back home without stepping in the park. Ooh. I remember joking a lot about the place being haunted and about us running into a ghost. It turns out the place really is haunted. I did some research out of curiosity and spoke to some Japanese friends and found out there was a division of the Japanese army back in World War II that conducted lots of horrible experiments with humans in that particular area. Apparently, they dumped the bodies of the deceased into a mass grave where the park now sits. Therefore, people think the souls of the dead cannot find peace, and it's now considered a haunted place. Many visitors claim that they've encountered ghosts and even soul spheres that appear when the soul detaches from the body, called hitodamas. I've never heard of that. Hitodamas. Spooky, right? Keep up the great work. All the best, Guillermo. And he's left a link to the place, but it's called Toyama Park in Waseda, and it's supposed to be haunted. And I've actually never heard about this. So I imagine they probably don't want that many people knowing about it, given all the horrible shit that went on there.
I guess not, no.
Have you seen this, Pete? Have you heard of it?
Have I been in this park? Because that really does ring a bell. I think I have. You. Oh my God, that's near where I stayed in Shinjuku. I think that's near where I stayed in Shinjuku. In a hotel around the corner from there. Because I had to walk through it to get to the train station. That's amazing. I had no idea it was so spooky. And with a horrific past, by the sounds of things.
I mean, I don't know anything about it. Apparently, it's some sort of relationship with Unit 731, which is a really messed up unit from World War II. It did lots of horrible just really unpleasant experiments that it's really horrible to read about, to be honest. And a lot of people know about it. I didn't come here to discuss that today. We've already got enough bad stories going on. We've got the story of the week this week is the idiot that dressed up like the Joker and decided it'd be a good idea to board a train in Tokyo and stab everyone and cause a scene. I think it's not the first time this year something like this has happened. The worst story this year so far that I think we've discussed was that guy who decided to stab women on a train because he decided that he didn't like people that were happy. Part of me is like, don't let these people reveal their motives, you know. Don't let people, the people that commit these crimes, don't let the news agencies get hold of these stories, you know. Just lock them away indefinitely.
They're invariably only telling that story to one policeman, aren't they? They're invariably only telling, because I mean, whenever anything like this happens, you're in a situation where everybody wants answers. But I mean, what answer is really going to satisfy? You know, there's no possible thing that twat on the train could possibly say to satisfy anyone. You know, it's not. I think maybe sometimes with religious fundamentalists, we kind of sort of go, oh, it's because they, you know, that's what they're into, blah, 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 or political reasons. But I mean, you know, like nothing excuses you injuring 17 people on a train. And I do hope all of us people pull through. I know there were a couple of old people attacked, unfortunately. And, you know, the mental health provisions that we've spoken about before in Japan is left wanting. They don't generally sort of treat the people with ill health in a fantastic way. And it was an astonishing and horrific attack on a weekend where people would be out and about, a lot of young people who've got their lives ahead of them, out and about just enjoying themselves. So, yeah.
It was, you know, pretty horrific timing, this guy coming down the train. So for those of you that don't know, a man stabbed 17 people on a train in Tokyo on the Halloween, basically. And he set the train on fire with oil. There's some pretty horrific videos on Twitter that were doing the rounds at the time where people are running down the train. You can see sort of further on down the carriage, there's lots of fire and lots of people running. And then there's sort of a chilling shot of somebody who shot the guy through the window. He's just sitting there smoking a cigarette, dressed very poorly as the Joker. His costume was shit. There's no doubt about that. But apparently his motives were he wasn't doing very well at work and nobody liked him. And so he decided he wanted to die and get the death sentence, which exists in Japan, and get the death sentence by going around stabbing people. What a dickhead. But fortunately, it seems nobody has died. So that's encouraging. But just incredibly bad, you know, the timing of it. Imagine, apparently people just thought it was a joke or someone dressed up, you know, with a knife covered in fake blood before they realized it was the real deal. Seeing a train on fire, I guess that made it suddenly all the more realistic what was going on, right? But I don't know. At least he's been locked away, and that's good. But it's a shame. I worry that people are going to start getting afraid of trains in Japan if this sort of thing keeps happening, given it's the second or third time there's been stabbings and things on the train this year.
Yeah.
Mass stabbings.
Indeed. It's not great. But it would be remiss of us if we didn't touch on it, because obviously that's been the thing that's dominated the Japanese international news, I think, this week.
Yeah. Exactly. And I didn't really want to talk about it. I hate talking about these things. But I know we had a lot of you guys messaging, wanting to know what's going on. And it's covered. That's it. It's done. We never talk about him again. And hopefully he'll be promptly forgotten. Like all the sort of people that commit these acts, they should just be forgotten as quickly as possible. We'll be back in a moment with the fax machine, your questions.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Darren from the Philippines. D from the P, or the F. Hello, Chris and Pete, or Pete and Chris. My question is, how much alcohol could Japanese people actually tolerate? In anime, I've either seen characters with very, very weak tolerance or very strong ones, but what is it actually in reality? To add another one, how much alcohol can the both of you tolerate in comparison? Well, Darren, whoa. I am a real power drinker. You are looking at a man
power drinker
who is just as at home with drinking a martini with little olive in it, and also slamming down a big can of European strength cooking lager. So it's very. I mean, and Chris just drinks Moscow Mules. So Moscow. If you're talking Moscow Mules, Chris is very good at drinking. If you're talking about Polish lager, I'm pretty good at that, I would say, on a full stomach.
I mean, this year I've done so much alcohol related stuff, I'm worried people think I'm like an alcoholic. Like, I did the sake video in like March. I've just done the gin distillery live show, which was
you
very drunk.
You petrol that time.
I did. And then there was, I had a Suntory sponsorship actually that fell through because of COVID.
Right.
So I was good, you know, three alcohol related things in 1 year. And people, I think after the live shows, I've done three live shows in the last month where alcohol has been consumed while the live show has been happening, which I can't overly recommend. And some people worrying that I'm like, I'm some sort of alcoholic. The truth is, I don't really drink that much alcohol. Only when I'm doing a live show with Norm or a gin distillery. That is when I drink things with friends. I don't really drink in the comfort of my own home. Like, do you just sit at home and drink alcohol, Pete? Is that what you do?
No, so that's not part of my thing, really. I've never been a person to have booze at home. I'm very much a social drinker. Oh, but when I go, I really go, unfortunately. Speaking of Norm, actually, did you see that little video that someone on Twitter sent us, Sims Purge? It's a person who on her YouTube, on their YouTube, they basically put a load of known people in a room in Sims. They create them in the character editor, and they've created the Abroad Japan universe and put us all in one room, turned up the violence to 100, and basically they find out who's the survivor. I started proceedings by flamethrowing Sea-Dog VA to death. then Natsuki got involved. I can't remember who killed.
How have I not seen this?
Yeah, it's on your Twitter. It's really, really good. Everyone's in it. It's like there's me, you, Sharla, Natsuki, Joy, Ryotaro, Sea-Dog VA, and Norm. I think you are very sad at my sad passing, because I'm just a burned wreck on the floor. I think Natsuki takes second blood. He just gets a knife out and I think starts stabbing everyone. I mean, terrible sort of thing to start. Sharla, I believe. Sharla is alone in a room after she's managed to kill everyone. I think Natsuki may kill Ryotaro first, and then I think you exact your revenge because you're very cut up about all of your friends being killed.
When was this shared? How have I missed
it? This was shared yesterday, I believe, the 2nd. So, yeah, 2nd at about 6:30. But it would have been like 2 o'clock in the morning your time. Have a look. I've retweeted it.
All right, I'll check it out. As long as it's family
friendly.
It's
very
friendly,
good. It's not family friendly at all. We've got a lot of people killing each other. But it's really good. Everyone looks like the person that they're supposed to be. I look like the best version of me. I've got a cool leather jacket on. I very much enjoyed it.
That sounds legitimately cool. I will check it out, I promise.
It's very good.
I promise. I realise we didn't even answer Darren's question. Sorry, Darren. Back to your question. People in Japan can't drink alcohol. No. Two beers, you'll notice an effect. Three beers, they're gone. Yeah, they do get drunk very quick. There's no doubt about that. Yeah.
I've been out with people where they have anticipated a night of drinking with a mate went out with a mate. He got in touch with a girl on one of the dating apps, and like we discussed before, dating apps in Japan, it's not necessarily about relationships, it's about meeting friends, practicing the English and stuff like that. And so this lass came along, like wonderful, like really fun girl. She used to live in Brighton. Really fun, funny, really sort of charismatic and very English in many ways. But she knew how hard English people drink compared to Japanese people. So she was loading up on those liver capsule things, those little tiny drinks before you start, those little tablets to get your body ready for a night on the tiles. And to her credit, she got pissed after two drinks. It's just something in their makeup genetically, I think, that makes it a little more difficult. And then they got that kind of that flushed cheek sort of thing.
Bright red.
Fascinating.
Fascinating, but very unfortunate. And that's why we have the Shibuya Meltdown Twitter feed to indulge and gorge on. We got one here from Erin. He says, "Hi, guys. My name's Erin, and I'm from Bendigo in the state of Victoria, Australia." Bendigo. Ooh. That sounds... I've never heard of that. Bendigo. "I've heard you say that there isn't really much of a beach culture in Japan, with the exception of Okinawa. I know most people live in the cities in Japan and wouldn't have the space for a pool, but what about those out in smaller towns? Are swimming pools a thing? Are there many public pools for people to use in the cities? Is recreational swimming overall just not a thing? Stay safe. Thanks again, Erin." You know, they do have a few swimming pools in Japan, but I just feel like the culture here does not exist where people like to go swimming as much compared to the UK, where we love to dive in the sea. Like here, beaches only really get busy in August. Outside of August, you just don't see people swimming in the sea. And as for swimming pools, yeah, you've got a few gyms, but people don't have pools in their houses or anything like that. So no, I'd say less swimming pools here by far than somewhere like the US or Australia or the UK. Swimming pools, not overly popular. Not really sure why
to
be honest.
It's a strong kind of surfing community in certain places. If you go down to Kamakura or places like that where People are really, really into their swimming about and stuff. But I mean, Japan isn't blessed with a lot of great beaches. I mean, there's some nice ones, but there's a lot of trash floating around in the sea.
There is on the west coast, like,
From China, I believe. But yeah, it's difficult to find a nice beach in Japan. But there are odds and sods in there. Like you said, Okinawa's to chill out. Eh?
On the Pacific coastline, there's loads of good beaches. Kind of further down, like Enoshima, not far from Kamakura, where you mentioned. It's pretty beautiful, and
it's just off the big train, isn't it? It's off the fast train track a little bit, isn't it? You got to really hunt them out. It's off the Shinkansen.
Yeah. Off the big train. I think you should do it. Nick, when you come over, when Japan opens in April/May next year, we should have Pete Donaldson's Top 100 Japanese Beaches, where you just go to each beach,
100.
Sit there for an hour and reflect
drink a
on
cup
life
of each.
And big trains.
Delicious. Okay. Yeah. Hello to Herman Malakowski. Hey, Chris and Pete. My name is Herman, and I'm from Beaufort in North Carolina. And Herman's helpfully provided a pronunciation. Actually, earlier on, I think you, from the news story, the story that we kicked off with, I think you, did you say Guillermo?
Guillermo.
I think it might be Guillermo. I just don't want people with South American names or Middle American names to complain. Hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Herman.
Guillermo.
Hope all is well in your worlds. What's the difference in the dating culture in Japan when you're in your 20s versus your 30s? Is it harder to date casually in your 30s? Do people become wary of others, or weary rather? Does anything change with foreigners versus locals as far as dating? All the best. Take care. Love you guys. Can't wait for Journey Across Japan 4. A journey that I think Chris may very well die on, because he's even less prepared this time.
Very true. Journey Across Japan 4, don't know when that's happening, although I'm supposed to be doing something with Natsuki and Joey in about 2 weeks. Something that I haven't really worked out what it is. We've all got the dates booked off, but we haven't like actually worked out what we're doing. It's a disaster.
Right, okay.
A mitigated disaster. Journey Across Japan Pocket Edition. Dating in Japan, I mean, I haven't done it in a while. I know in the people in their 20s, they have these weird like dating parties where they have like 10 girls and 10 guys and they sort of go in a room. It's a bit like speed dating, but not as fun. And they sort of have to sort of meet each other and talk. I can't remember for the life of me what the name of these parties are. What's it called, Pete? You know, you're Japanese. Chigaimasu. What is it? A dating party in Japan.
Oh, a dating party. I don't know. I don't know what I'd even call it. So people just get in a room, sort of go, I'm single and ready to mingle. Let's do some mingling.
Yeah, pretty much. And they have like a meal plan with it. It's very clever. Like they twin with the restaurant, and the restaurant's like, yeah, we want to promote romance and our menu. Gorkom. That's what it's called. Gorkom. Organized group dates. It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he played for Newcastle in the early noughties. Gorkon, one of the French imports. Gorkon.
I typed it in and I got an article that says, The Ugly Truth of Gorkon, Japan's Group Blind Dates. They're kind of like blind dates, but not. Apparently they're a mixed bag and they're a whole lot of fun, but... they're drinking parties where men and women can meet, get drunk, and get to know each other. The name comes from the Japanese word godo for mixed or combination, and kompa, which means an informal group meeting. The activity is a fixture in Japanese society, starting with university, where clubs will go on gorkon together. The practice continues in the working world, where Japan's rigorous work culture and time to meet potential dates is limited. Typically, a single guy and a girl who know each other will invite their co-workers as well as their friends. So the end result is that it's not too awkward. And the men and women, they sit opposite each other. And once the drink is flowing, the conversation gets rowdy until the end of the night when those who want to pair off do so. And that's basically where it comes from. But then there's a whole section about why it's dangerous and people get harassed. But I think for the most part, from what I know, Gorkon are like a pretty big deal. And a lot of university students do it. So
I just can't believe that you're in a situation where you're basically bringing your own little army to the war, like kind of having to bring friends. Your work, you know, all your friends, work colleagues and stuff. How is that any different to just being in a pub? That's what I want to know. It's all very. I think that would increase the intensity, to be quite frank.
I don't know though, innit? Because like when you go to a pub, you don't know who's going to be there. Whereas with a Gorkon, you know, say I'm like, well, I want to go and meet a girl, so I'll invite Pete Donaldson, Connor, and Natsuki.
Cool.
And then some Japanese girl turns up with her three friends, and then it's, you know, it's less awkward than kind of, you know, if we take that situation and we apply that to like a bar in Shibuya, Pete, Natsuki, Connor, and Chris walk into a bar, and then there's like four girls. If you go and walk over to it and approach them, it, you know, it might be a bit awkward. You might feel a bit rude. It might feel a little bit like harassment where you're like, yeah, you want a drink, love? Yeah, come on over here. So I don't know why you'd speak like that in that environment. But
do you want a Moscow Mule? Do you want a Moscow Mule?
Moscow Mule, isn't it? I don't know. I kind of see it. Like, you know, in Japan, they don't like the uncertainty of it. That's why snack bars and hostess clubs are so popular, right? You go in and you get a girl that flirts with you and pours a drink, and there's that certainty that they will do that, no matter what you look like, how much money you have in your pocket, as long as it's a certain amount that you can afford the bill. Like, people, the staff there will humour you and flirt with you in a way that you just can't get anywhere else. And it's all about that certainty.
they want that sort of certainty.
They don't want that risk.
But I think, like, adding more people in the mix, I mean, what, you know, all my friends are more handsome and more charismatic than me. So I'm with my friends and like they're going to be cracking funnies and they're like nobody's going to, I'm not going to get a look in. Surely. That's crazy. You're just adding more variables in, guys. Just have a date.
You've got to up your game.
Shut up.
You've got to up your game.
Up your game.
You're getting in with the big boys.
Yeah.
Got to up your game.
Going in with the big boys. I saw that video. We were horrible to each other. A lot of gun shooting. I think Sharla got a big M16 out and shot lots of people.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing.
I still haven't seen anything to do with this. I wonder if you just made it up and it's your dream last night while you were sick.
Okay, fine.
After having lots of dodgy cream. I'm going to go and check it out now. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into BornJapanPodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to find this thing Pete's been talking about the last half hour. And if it's good and family friendly and appropriate content, I will retweet it and just go and check out the Twitter feed. It will be there. But for now, guys, no matter how you're doing, away you might be out there in the big wide world, we'll see you later on this week for more Abroad in Japan podcast. And keep an eye out. Sometime, probably next week, there will be an episode showing off the studio that we've talked so much about in this episode. Our descriptions with our words and our mouths cannot simply do it justice. It has to be seen,
really can't,
to be believed. And I look forward to sharing it with you then. Have a good week, guys, and we'll see you then. Bye for now.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.